While we remain standing, I'd like to offer the scripture reading for the sermon today. I'll be reading to you from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 11. Receive this for what it is, the living and active Word of God. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Thus far, the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you through Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, and we pray now that by your word and spirit, we will be those who may proclaim with all confidence and leave this place with the full assurance that in your light we have seen light. Thank you for life in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your clear commands, for they are not burdensome. Enable us now to receive your word and to live in accordance with your word. Through Jesus we pray, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. There is something beautiful and fearful about the church when she is acting like the church. There is something beautiful and fearful about the church when she is following Jesus Christ. Beautiful within, fearful to those on the outside. Beautiful. I believe it was Blaise Pascal who one time said, one is almost always led to believe through that which is attractive, through that which is beautiful. There's something wondrously beautiful about the church when she's following her Lord, obeying the commands of God. But there's also something fearful about the church when she's doing that. To use the terminology as Screwtape once trembled, the church is as terrible as an army with banners, making even the most senior tempters tremble. That's when the church is doing what the church ought to be doing, behaving as the church ought to behave. There's something beautiful and fearful about the church when she follows Jesus. Sadly, however, when the church says no to what the Lord asks her to do, it's as if we're tearing down those banners and spraying over them with graffiti saying, nah, we're just kidding. Our scripture reading today began with verse 3, and this is a bit of a review from last week. John begins with the words, by this. By this we know that we have come to know him. And John's answer will be, because we live in a certain way. The fact that we know the Lord will be known and shown in how we live. John says in verse 3 that we keep his commandments. He'll say in verse 5 that we keep his word. He will say in verse 6, because we walk in the same manner as he walked. What is that? The commandments, we're to keep his commandments? In our passage today, John will point to one particular commandment, a commandment which always reveals our relationship with the Lord. It will show whether or not we are in fellowship with the Lord. And the commandment is this: love one another. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Which commandment? What commandment should I start with? The command of loving one another is a starting point, a test case, a proving ground in which it will be shown and known that we are in fellowship with the Father and the Son, because our fellowship with the Father and the Son is seen in our fellowship with one another. Communion with God, communion of the saints. Just as John pointed out in chapter 1 of this epistle, you cannot say that you're in a fine relationship with the Lord while you are still embracing your sin. You can't say, I'm walking with the Lord while wallowing in your sin. Now, John will be just as clear. You cannot say that you know the Lord and still hate the brothers, the others, the one another's. Done. If you are in the family of God, you will love those who are in the family of God. If you are born of God, you will love others who are born of God. I'd like you to see this because John will continue to circle around this in his epistle because I need the repetition. I'd like you to turn to the right just a little bit to 1 John chapter 4. I'd like you to see this. 1 John 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 19. I'd like you to follow along, please. Our Lord's love precedes, it is prior to any of our love. We love, verse 19 says, because He first loved us. It starts there. And then very similar language here, verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen, the idea is someone who's right there, cannot love God whom he has not seen. Verse 21, this is the commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Thinking, well, where is this with regard to loving God and the family of God? Keep reading, because the chapter divisions really aren't there. So chapter 5, verse 1. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? That he's the Messiah? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You've been begotten of God. The language in some circles, I've been born again. I have been given life by God. Go on. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. If you love God, you love those born of God. There's no wiggle room here at all. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. And here's the love of God, verse 3, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Stay right there, because we're going to turn to the right in just a moment, in a little bit. Imagine someone, to understand this, imagine someone saying, honey, love our marriage, things have been going great all these years, I love you, but I just can't stand our children. I can't stand those begotten of you. What? No. Imagine some child saying, I love mom and dad, but I despise my brothers and sisters. No, if you love God, you're going to love those born of God. That kind of language is rank hypocrisy. Don't even go there. We cannot pretend that we have a fine and healthy relationship with the Lord and not care for the rest of the family. John says that this love one another commandment is both old and new. And we know that this old, new commandment is the love one another commandment because of John using this very similar language in 2 John, one of those books of the Bible that's a single page. So if you'll turn to the right now to 2 John, I'd like you to take a look with me at verses 5 and 6. 2 John 5 and 6. Bless you. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, so it's not a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning. What is it? That we love one another. Verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. So that's the old or new commandment. So let's take a look at our focus passage today, verses 7 through 11. What we're going to do is to take a brief look at these verses, and then we're going to take a look at some earthy shoe leather observations about loving one another. with some points of application. Verse 7, John begins by saying, this is an old commandment. It's an old commandment. Verse 7, it's an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. What does that mean? It would mean from the very beginning of your Christian walk. Every early Christian community would have been known by love God, love one another. You love because He first loves you. He's placed you in this community because of His love for you. Now that means you love God and you love one another. Every early Christian community would have taught this, tried to exhibit it, and expected it of every member of the church. You've had this word from the beginning, but that's not all. It's likely a reference also to a predominantly Jewish audience where John is saying, this is a word that you've had from the very beginning, all the way from the older Testament. John is actually referring to Leviticus 19:18. Leviticus 19:18 says, don't hold a grudge against any of the sons of your people. Don't do that. Don't hold a grudge against any of them. Goes on and says, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19, were you to read it and spend some time in it, you would find that it is a passage filled with words such as this. For I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord. I'm asking you to do this because I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19 is an identifying passage. If you belong to the Lord, if He is your God, then you'll behave in this way. You're to love one another. It's a commandment that you have had from the beginning. It's not a new commandment. It's an old commandment. So then and now, if you belong to the Lord, it will be known and shown through your behavior. Not by having some kind of warm thought in your head or heart. It will be seen in the way you behave, in the way you live. Love is not just a thought. So it's an old commandment. It's a commandment which has been around. But John also says in verse 8, on the other hand, I am writing to you a new commandment. A new commandment. So we asked the question, and I was speaking with a pastor a couple of weeks ago, and I said, what do you think about this passage? And he says, I kind of wonder what's new about the commandment, because certainly he's referring to Leviticus 19, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, but what's new about it? So we asked the question, just like my pastor friend asked, what's new about it? John gives the answer right here in verse 8, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So John says, this is an old commandment. You've heard it from the beginning of your Christian walk. It's actually been present as long as there's been a God and the people of God. It's always marked them, but it's also new. In what way is it new? It's true in Him, in Christ, and in you, because the true light is already shining. So what does this mean? First of all, it's true in Jesus because He is the light of the world. It's also true in Jesus because He is the one who has perfectly fulfilled the commandments. It's also new in Jesus because He spoke this way to the disciples. You'll remember John 13 when Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Not one of the disciples said, no, Lord, we've had that for a while. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, so you also love one another. And then He uses the words that John uses regularly in 1 John. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. There's no wiggle room here. If I don't have love for one another, pull the plug. False. Gone. No. So it's true in Him, because He's the light of the world, and He's the one who said, my words and my example show you what's new about this. Live in this way. But John also says it's true in you. It's true in you. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. We read that earlier today. You are the light of the world. You, the church, is the light of the world. The church is the city set on a hill. Not a nation, but the people of God. That's what Jesus said. There's the beginning of a passage today. It's true in you as you walk as Jesus walked, as you follow his example. We ought to walk in the same manner as he walked. Now, the remainder of the passage shows that following this command to love one another reveals whether or not we are in the light or the darkness. To be in the light means we love God and we love one another. To be in the darkness means that we are throwing a bunch of trip hazards around, stumbling blocks before others. To be in the light means that we show a family resemblance. To be in the light means that we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and that means we have fellowship with one another. Verse 9. Let's read it. The one who says, John does this regularly, the one who's talking about it, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother, he's still in the darkness. You can't just talk about it. Well, how do I know if I am in the light or if I'm in the darkness? How do I know if I love the brother or not? John will give an example later on. It's a murderous example. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, he's going to say, by this we know that we are... how do we know the children of God or the children of the devil? Take a look at verse 10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. 1 John 3:10. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. And then what example is he going to give? He's going to give an example from the Old Testament. Don't be like Cain. Verse 11. For this is the message which we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, verse 12, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Whatever was in there was coming out, and that's what he brought about with him. So the one who is loving his brother, verse 10, back to chapter 2 now, the one who loves his brother abides, remains, stays in the light, and there is no cause for scandal in him, no cause for stumbling in him. However, verse 11, but the one who hates his brother is in the darkness. And do you think he's going to say, I'm in the darkness? No, he's busy saying, I love people, I love one another. But he's still in the darkness, and he walks in the darkness. He doesn't know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So what is the stumbler doing here? He's exporting what he has. He's a stumbler. He doesn't love others, and he's making them stumble. John's words are blunt. I'll admit it. Where do we go from here? Here we begin to take a look at some of the earthy application or the shoe leather observations of this. Because any one of us, if you say to any Christian, anyone who professes faith in Christ, ought you to love God? Yes. Ought you to love one another? Yes. What does it look like? Husbands and wives, what does it look like to love one another? Let me get back to you on that. Brothers and sisters, biological family, brothers and sisters, what does it look like to love one another? I really don't know. I'm out of practice. What about in the body of Christ? Again, this is where the church is both beautiful and fearful when we obey God's commands. If not, we're just tearing down the banners. There are difficulties or strains in maturity. There are difficulties or strains as we press on to maturity. Love one another sounds so easy. It sounds so obvious. But it is not. Yet, this is what is so distinctively defining of the people of God. We will confess, we believe in the communion of the saints. When we do that, we are also confessing that this communion of the saints is something that is not of our design. I didn't invent this. It's just like when a young couple is taking their vows in marriage. They didn't invent marriage. They're entering into something greater than themselves. You know, I speak of the mystery of Christ in the church. Yes, it's very much like marriage. That's right. The communion of the saints is something that is not of our own design. just like your own families, so too with the household of faith. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose your aunt or your uncle. And some of them are very curious. Some of them do things that we wouldn't do, and yet we are connected with biological families. It's similar to this in the body of Christ. You didn't choose Christ, and yet according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, the Lord has placed each one of us in His body as He desired. It was His will, His way. And it is in this that we learn how to love one another, because the Lord loves us that much. I don't want to love them. Welcome to the class. It is with these people, we can look around, it is with these people that loving one another is worked out and put into action. And it is not always that easy. And yet these are the lessons that the Lord is giving to us, the shaping that He has provided for us through one another, through His body. I'd like to give you a few examples. Imagine with me, if you will, the impatient corn cob of a husband, the impatient corn cob of a father, who every day prays for patience and gentleness. What happens next? He turns around and has an opportunity to learn patience and gentleness right then. Another example. Imagine a man or a woman marked by discontent, and this man or this woman prays for godly contentment and turns around, and there is something exposing his or her discontent once again. A lesson for learning contentment. Not one of us has arrived, and the Lord has loves us this much to place us together and to learn from one another. We tend to grouse. Some of us tend to grouse a little too much, grumble a little too much with what the Lord provides instead of growing through it. This is a way that we grumble at godliness. The Lord is growing me into godliness, and you know what I'll do? I'll just sit back and grumble about it. Been there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, forbear with one another in love. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, show tolerance for one another in love. Note, newsflash, you cannot forbear with others or endure through things with one another in love unless there is something to forbear over or endure through. What's going on? You know what? I'm very loving. I love one another. But the moment there's something that I have to forbear with or put up with, I think I need to go bury my father. I need to bring the crops in. Lord, I really want to follow you, but I don't want to do that. It is no wonder that the Apostle Paul warned against biting and devouring one another just before he spoke of the deeds of the flesh in Galatians 5. Watch out, don't bite and devour one. And you can't bite or devour anybody unless you're near them. Excuse me. Thank you for your patience. I'd like to wrap up with 3 points, and this still stays right in line with the shoe leather observations, the very earthy applications of this. I just mentioned proximity a moment ago. This is the first point. Proximity. nearness. Loving one another is not just difficult, it is painful. And in part, it's because of our sin, our lack of growth and our lack of sanctification, but it's also in part because of proximity, nearness. Some of the deepest hurts and greatest wounds are caused by those who are closest to us. We are in proximity to, we are near to one another. We are in communion with one another by the Lord's design. We know each other and we are known by each other, and that's why some people have the cartoon departure. Pew! Got to get out of the church. I'm known. Right. Not as much as the Lord knows you. We are still called to love one another. These one another's. Not those who are in distant lands or who run a business in Des Moines. You know what? I love that guy that lives. I'm not, you know, if you know somebody in Des Moines that runs a business, I'm not referring to you. I just picked that. Not the people distant. You're to love the one another's, the brothers and sisters in Christ. But God has given you the nearness and the proximity and the communion of the saints to grow you in godliness. The proving ground for this is this present arena. Husbands and wives know this. Brothers and sisters know this because they know one another. They know which buttons to push and which things aggravate the most. And yet, there's something glorious and beautiful when love covers a multitude of sins and continues to work through that, realizing that I too am growing through that. Are we allowed to stop loving one another when we are hurt, offended, or because we disagree with something someone else said or posted or thinks? Or do we get to love them through it? And sometimes my love is a matter of, it's time for me to shut my mouth. Back to Leviticus 19. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people. Stop it. And you are not to act against the life of your neighbor. And by the way, Cain's murder of Abel, however he did it, likely started within before it came out. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor. Go talk to your neighbor. But you shall not incur sin because of him. Not one of us is allowed to say, well, she sinned, I get to sin. I'm doing this because of what he did. Then you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. How did Christ treat us? He came near. He was called our companion. And he was anointed with the oil of gladness above all of his companions. Hebrews chapter 1. Pain and offense are inevitable. Trials are given to help us grow. There are no safe spaces with soft music, soothing videos, stuffed animals, and puffy couches. C.S. Lewis said it well in The Four Loves. A lengthy quote, follow along if you will. Lewis wrote, there is no safe investment. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The alternative to tragedy, or at least to the risk of tragedy, is damnation. The only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and perturbations of hell, of love, is hell. End of quote. That's proximity. I know John's letter is very earthy. Point number two. What about disobedience and our honesty? The commandment is clear. As Chesterton would have said, this is a fact as obvious as potatoes. The commandment is to love one another. That's clear. What is not as clear is that we get blurry about our own disobedience in this. We're not honest. One of the ways that we disobey this commandment is when we are so busy evaluating everyone else's obedience to this commandment, focusing upon what others have done or have not done in loving you or others. The deceptiveness of this type of disobedience is that the whole time it keeps on proclaiming the importance of the commandment, we are to love one another. And it pretends adherence to the commandment. This is what ought to be done. This is what needs to be done. We ought to do this. While at the same time ignoring what it calls me to do. In this, we apply the Word of God to others in violation of the Word of God to ourselves. Instead, John keeps pointing us to what we ought to be doing. Do I keep his commands? Do I keep his word? Do I walk in the same manner as he walked? Do I love one another? Rather than squabbling all the time about how unloving that person has been. The church is beautiful within. The church is fearful to those without. When we do this. Over the years, I have encountered people who say, you know what, I love Jesus, but I really don't care for his church. I love Jesus, but I can't stand the people there. You know, I worship Jesus in my own way. I'm a Christian. The profound inconsistency of that is that someone says, you know what, I love the bridegroom, but I really can't stand his bride. I love the bridegroom, but I can't stand those whom he loves, those for whom he died. And when that's the case, that removes the beauty and the thunder of Christ's communion. Last, I'm going to give you some homework, and with this we conclude. How do I get started? First of all, remember, love is not a feeling. You've got to get rid of those thoughts. Love's a command. Do this. You cannot say, you know, the Lord commanded something and then I am just going to fall through the ice on this one. I'm done. No, it's a command. Just as it was then in the older covenant, so it is now. This has always marked the people of God. And with the commandment comes the enablement. I love Augustine's prayer when he said, Lord, command what you will and give what you command. Go ahead and command away and give what you command. We should start doing it. And I'm going to encourage you to do your own Bible study on the one another's. Start asking yourself, do I obey the one another's? If I am not inclined toward building up one another in the faith, why don't I start building someone up in the faith? You will find that the feeling will follow the obedience. What about serving one another? What about praying for one another? What about encouraging one another? What about giving preference to one another in honor? Do a study of the one another's. And by the way, they are positively stated and negatively stated. Do not speak against one another. Do not grumble against one another. You know if you've done that or not. If you'd stop griping about Joe Schlobotnik or whomever else, you might find God is going to give you more grace to grow. So anyway, The church is beautiful, loved by the Lord, and terrifying to those outside. We have something in the body of Christ, not just locally, nationally, but internationally, that the world does not have. Let's not tear down the banners. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that by your word and spirit, we will more and more be marked by the love which you have poured out upon us. By this, we will know, others will know that we are your disciples. Help us, O Lord, to follow your example and to encourage one another in the following of the example of Jesus Christ. We pray this because we bear your name and we long to do so honorably. Through Jesus Christ, we pray.